I am unquestionably one of the luckiest people I know. And I remind myself of that every morning when I hit the snooze bar on the alarm clock. But I don't like early morning hours, but I love doing what I do because I meet a lot of interesting people. And it's at times like this that those interesting people can step up and help us. And that includes this gentleman who I met a long while ago and shared many a glass of wine at little informal meetings at Ambassador Ron Weiser's house down in the wine cellar. And we, I believe, solved most of the world's problems down in those meetings. But we have not clearly had one in a while, and we have plenty of other world problems. This gentleman has served on the faculty of the University of Michigan Law School, so you know he's very bright. Associate Dean and Director of the Graduate Division of Business and Management, the Carey Business School at Johns Hopkins University. He's done so many different things. If I go through his list of accomplishments, I wouldn't be able to ask him the questions I want to ask. But you should know Clinical Assistant Professor Eric Gordon, who's on the other end of my line. And I'm happy to say, Professor Gordon, because we've not had a chance to be together in a while, my little girl, Sophie, is proudly a member of the Ross School of Business at the University of Michigan, where we find you right now. Professor Gordon, it's great to catch up with you.
Oh, Paul, I didn't know that news. That's terrific. Congratulations.
Yeah, I couldn't be more excited for her.
She should come see me.
I will. Now I will make the connection. I'll get all the information. And you have his number, everything? Yeah. And I'll absolutely make that happen. She was just here in Detroit meeting on a couple of the business situations that are going on with Olympia Entertainment and Stephen Ross with his companies that are trying to put together a great facility for Detroit, running into some trouble, but hopefully clearer minds will realize how important it is to have this kind of growth and what we need to do to get it. But that's not what we're talking about. What we're talking about now is concern of in the banking industry, and that's something you kind of specialize in, know a lot about, and people are saying, you know, with Silicon Valley Bank and the other one, is our money safe? And I'm told, too, after Ann spoke with you just a moment ago, we just kind of put this together, that we do have a lot of startups in Michigan that, in fact, did rely on Silicon Valley Bank. Bring us up to today, if you would, Professor.
So we have lots of startup companies. We have a bunch of good VC firms here in Southeast Michigan. And, Paul W., I can tell you, over the weekend, everybody was in a panic. I was on the phone with everybody I knew and everybody who pretended they knew me to try to figure out what those companies should do. How would they make their payroll? And if you miss your payroll, boy, you are in real trouble. So people were really scrambling. Now, it turned out that the government stepped in and everybody's okay. Everybody's got access to their money. But it scared the bejesus out of people. And the question a lot of folks have is, so, you know, what about the rest of the banks? You know, Silicon Valley Bank is a bank that most of us don't bank with. I don't bank there. You probably don't bank there. What about the rest of our banks?
Right. And here's the other question that I have. Okay, so the government was prepared. Initially, Janet Yellen said, nope, we're not bailing them out. Well, then, of course, that changed. And they are going beyond the $250,000 that's supposed to be FDIC insured. But my question to you, Professor Eric Gordon, is that's two banks. What if all of a sudden there were 10 banks? How can we handle that and protect our money? I mean, how do we know that we don't really have to worry about any cash we have stored in a bank? I mean, some people are saying they should pull their money out of the bank, but I don't know where they'd put it.
Yeah, put it under the mattress, and then somebody, you know, robs right. robs your house and right. you lose it. Look, here's the thing. Most of the banks that most of us in Southeast Michigan have our money in are very unlike Silicon Valley Bank. Silicon Valley Bank was really peculiar. Think about this. Its customers were the riskiest customers you can imagine. All these early stage companies that have no cash flow, that won't be making profits for years, highly concentrated in the tech business and the biotech business. These are really, really risky companies. And the bank itself, this is Silicon Valley Bank, just grew like a weed. It more than doubled in, you know, like 6 or 7 years. It kind of outgrew its risk controls. It's really unlike the banks that, you know, you and I pass on Woodward Avenue or have our money in. I'm not worried about my money. My money's in a good, solid bank. But here's kind of the lesson. You know, some of these new popular go-go banks that are the crypto bank or the tech bank or the who knows what, you know, the virtual reality bank, be a little careful. They are of much higher risk than the old conservative dowdy banks that, you know, mostly dot the highways around here.
So it kind of pays to go with the bigger name banks that we've been familiar with for years rather than one of those new ones. This one was called, somebody said, and I, you know, I don't want to make a political statement, but they said this was a very woke bank. I'm not even sure what that means in a banking world, but woke banking run amok.
You know, I don't think the wokeness is what the problem was. I mean, the wokeness was the riskiness of the customers and the fact that they put their assets into something which, you know, you and I think is pretty safe, government bonds. The problem is when the interest rates changed, the value of the bonds changed, they went down. So when they sold the bonds, they didn't raise enough cash to pay, you know, give the money back to the depositors. You know, some of the big banks are good. Some of the regional and local banks are very, very safe because they're very conservative. They stick to old-fashioned standards. They're not trying to be the latest fad bank. So, you know, whether they're big or regional or even some of the really good local banks that we have here, as long as they're not chasing fads where they really don't know what they're doing, as long as they've stuck to their knitting, they're safe.
Is this a correct or incorrect statement? The banking sector should be, theoretically, more stable due to the regulatory reforms that were put in place after the crisis in 2008.
You know, every time there's a crisis, we get more regulation, and we think we're safer. And I don't know if we're any safer or we're just more regulated. Clearly, the new regulations did not, Dodd-Frank and the rest of them, did not protect people from Silicon Valley Bank.
Well, I got to tell you, it's great to be able to call on such an expert at a time like this to soothe us. Don't be pulling your money out of the bank, putting it in your mattress, or burying it in the backyard and forgetting where you buried it. Oh, boy, I can see all the problems. Clinical assistant. Yes, sir?
My dog ate the
savings I worked all my life to save and accumulate. Clinical assistant professor at the fabulous Ross School of Business, University of Michigan, Professor Eric Gordon. I look forward to seeing you again soon. I'm glad we're back in touch. And we got to get a hold of the ambassador and say, hey, come on. I know you're busy, but it's time to have some more wine and discussion so we can prevent these kinds of things from happening as we solve all the problems of the world.
Especially if he's buying.
Well, of course. I mean, that goes without saying. Thank you, Professor. God bless.
My pleasure.
Professor Eric Gordon. And just trying to soothe your concerns, you know who else does that very well, and we'll call upon him at 8:20, is David Sowerby. And we'll ask him, could this have been avoided? Are Michigan banks okay? Spill over to the broader stock market. We have a lot of things to ask David Sowerby from Ancora, and we're going to do that. He's a managing director, portfolio manager at Ancora. So that's coming up at 8:20. We aim to please and to take good care of you here on the Paul W. Smith Show. Your physical health and your fiscal health is our aim. 746 WJR.